This content is brought to you in part by Real Marketing, the only marketing firm recommended exclusively by the Institute. Real Marketing utilizes over 25 years of expertise, and their products are built and customized for you to dominate any neighborhood, anywhere. Go to realmarketingforyou.com. That's realmarketing, the number four, you.com. Also, look for past A State of Mind episodes with CEO David Collins as our guest. Welcome to A State of Mind, a podcast series all about motivating, inspiring, and educating you in the art of selling luxury real estate. This is Diane Hartley, and I'm president of the Institute for Luxury Home Marketing. Today, we will be talking to Andrew Hong, founder and CEO of Toby Agency, a growth marketing firm headquartered in Los Angeles. Andrew has been a great resource for our members, first as a guest at Leaders in Luxury, and he has the distinction of being one of our very first podcast guests. Today, I'll be talking with Andrew about how to develop a customized content marketing strategy to reach the high net worth consumer, a very sophisticated audience. Hi, Andrew, and welcome. We've got the absolute privilege to speak with you today to talk really about this luxury consumer and luxury real estate and how that sophistication really does tie into your business and in growth marketing. Can you tell everybody a little bit about your background, how you got started, and then the light bulb that went off for you in this business?
Yeah. So first of all, Diane, I'm like honored to be live on the podcast with you. I think one of our first podcasts, I've been on your podcast before, albeit it was Leaders in Luxury, which was a recorded event. So I'm happy to be live here with you and having this conversation with you. So just for everyone out there that I haven't had a chance to meet or interact with yet through this kind of amazing network of the Institute, I am the founder and CEO of Toby Agency. We are a growth marketing agency based in Los Angeles, California. Initially, when we first started our agency, I was very focused on real estate, mortgage, and financial services. And that was because my background previously in a very different life, was I was in the consulting world working for one of the big four, actually KPMG at the time, and then PricewaterhouseCoopers in their advisory practices. I was working very closely in banking and finance. I did a very short stint in private equity where we were looking at acquiring mortgage companies. So I know a lot about the insides and outs, ins and outs of that world. But I actually had a period in my career where I decided to quit the corporate life. And I was a freelance digital marketer running Facebook ads just back in about 2010, 2011. A very big shift from my previous kind of career and work experience. And so I'd been running Facebook ads and Google ads for like 4 or 5 years, just being a freelance consultant. And I kind of realized like, man, this freelance life, it's great. But, you know, I was getting married at the time, starting to think about having a family, and you can only do so much like being a freelancer. And so I realized like, I got to build a proper business model out of all the knowledge that I've gained over the years, like really doing digital marketing. So in 2016, around 2017, I decided to start Toby Agency because I wanted to do more in digital marketing because I kind of read the writing on the wall, which kind of showed me, this is back in the mid 2010s, that look, like, you can't just be like a Facebook ad person. You can't just be an email marketer. You can't just become a content person. You got to be able to do all of that stuff in one, right? Because what's happening now is that marketing is just getting much more sophisticated and much more integrated across all. And Diane, you know this, right? Like we've seen the evolution of just how content has evolved and how you get content pushed to you or how it's distributed. And so I sort of realized like I needed to build an agency with a team that had the expertise to work across all of these different channels that were just growing and growing and growing. So I started Tobi Agency. We decided to partner with a technology company called HubSpot. Some of you might have heard of this company out there, but they're basically a CRM platform that has a lot of marketing and sales technology integrated into them. They were not a competitor to Salesforce initially, but they've become a competitor to Salesforce. And we became an agency partner with them because I also realized that you cannot do any of the modern marketing and sales stuff today without having a proper technology stack. And I think you as well, Diane, have realized that because you've invested heavily in your technology stack for your members to make sure that they have an outstanding experience and they get the value that they need. Like, you know, Diane, we could be putting amazing stuff into the portal all day, every day, right? But if it's not a good user experience, if it's not a good user interface, people are not going to be able to see that and engage with it, right? And so that's the technology piece of this, right? And so I think this marriage between content strategy, marketing and sales strategy, and really technology strategy, all of those have really come together to really build modern marketing, regardless if you're a B2B company, a B2C company, if you're an agent or a brokerage. Like, there is a lot of things we now need to think about, regardless of how big or small you are when it comes to trying to communicate with prospects and convert those prospects or even nurture your previous customers to continue to get them to engage with you.
Yeah, so, you've struck on the two, I think, most important things in any type of business, which is getting people to come work with you, right? Yep. And then getting them to then refer you, right? So how do you come across in the world without being able to shake hands with someone or meet them somewhere? Because the world is just so different now about how we interact with people. And so this idea of being liked, trusted, and remembered via, as you're calling it, a technology stack. I mean, you know, nobody wants to sit around at a cocktail party and talk about this, right? It's just not that.
I know. it's the most nerdy thing to say, technology stack.
It is. It's super nerdy, but it's super important. And then when you really think about how the Institute, right, like we actually, it is in our training and has been for many, many years about how really the high net worth individual very typically is sophisticated in their approach to any type of technology. They're not always the earliest of the early adopters, but as you were talking, you do have a gift, and that is that you can see a bit of where things are going, right? The great quote of Wayne Gretzky and skating to where the puck is going.
Go where it's going, yep.
Right? Uh-huh. And so you really, in your business, you could see all of these things shaping up and how it was going to impact really at the consumer level and what they were going to expect to see. So we all know direct mail is important.
Of course.
We all know that face-to-face meeting with people is very important. One of our last podcast guests is Steve Yastro, and he wrote a great book about how to continue a relationship in any type of conversation you're having. And when you think about the kind of the high level strategy that you promote, which is content first, can you talk a little bit in a nerdy way, because about the tech stack and how that helps you?
Yeah. So, obviously with the Institute, much of what we try to talk about with the members and even all the folks out there who are not members today, if you're engaging with like the content that the Institute puts out, you know, it's all about creating great customer experiences, right? And if you don't create a great, we know in this day and age that especially with luxury, know the type of customer there is, right? And so let me give you an example of a bad customer experience, right, with using marketing and technology. You send this blanket email to telling people about, here are all my listings that I have available. But you're not segmenting the people you're sending that email to by whether or not they're buyers, right? So maybe you're sending a bunch of like listings to a bunch of folks who are sellers, and maybe that, but they're not in your geographic area. So there's no value to that, right? So they're getting an email about maybe a bunch of listings you're doing in another neighborhood or another county that has nothing to do with the audience you just sent that to, right?
So, you touch upon something though that I want you to unlock here.
Yep.
There is a school of thought that says, oh, anything about me is really good for people to see. And I know you're going to debunk that, but I want you to really be specific about that and why that in today's day and age with the unsubscribe button,
yep,
right? It's just, it's deadly kind of.
We are inundated with information, right? We get text message notifications. We get app notifications up the wazoo, right? Like sometimes you don't even turn them on. You start getting all the notifications from this app that you never thought you were going to, right? Yeah. That's just like marketing stuff that's coming at you, right? So the problem is that you need to make sure that you are talking to people with information that they want to get, right? And that seems like such an elementary thing for us to know and understand. It's like, hey, Diane, I only want to send information that Diane cares about, right? But it's sometimes either because we don't understand how to use the technology, sometimes because we're lazy, and I know that happens a lot too, or sometimes we don't know any better what the best practice is.
We're uninformed.
Yeah, we sometimes take this blanket shotgun approach to communicating with folks. And in that instance, what I would have done, that example that I gave where you've got an email list, is to segment your email list. Segment it first by who's purchased from me before, or who are people that are prospects to me and maybe they're potential buyers and sellers. And then I would take your list and segment it down just one step further into folks who might be potential buyers or sellers or both, right? And then you can start thinking about, okay, like what's the message that I want to send to all of these folks here who are prospects and in this county and I know they're buyers. So now your messaging, even though you're touching less people, gets much more specific. But I can guarantee you that, and this is the number, I usually, when I go in and fix email marketing for most folks, the number one thing I look at is segmentation, segmentation, segmentation. If you are not getting the results that you want, you're getting high unsubscribes, low open rates, low click-through rates, you got to look at your segmentation first. That is usually the foundational element of what needs to change.
Yeah, and segmentation's a little nerdy word, so I'm going to call it what you said earlier, which is that people really only want information that they want to get.
Correct.
And so what I was thinking about when you said that is, you know, in the past, for those who listen to the podcast, you know, we're always talking about this idea of bespoke or customized and how important that is in the world of the high net worth individual and the ultra high net worth individual. The importance of that is the level of sophistication that that's what's showing what sophistication you have.
Yeah, let me actually tell a little, something happened to me this past weekend. This is a very good example of a luxury experience that was actually a very bad experience that turned into a good one because of the technology and how they treated me. So I'm a Porsche owner. I drive my car up into, we have some beautiful canyons, you know, 30, 40 miles, like northeast of LA, as well as in Malibu. And so I usually, my Zen thing, Diane, I like to go up in the canyons by myself and drive and, you know, take a look at the beautiful views that we have up there. And so on Friday, I took half the day off. I drove up there. I hit a rock on the way down and immediately I heard this, right? I'm like 20 miles up in the mountain, like 6,000 foot elevation, right? And no cell phone signal. My car, you know, my car is a high maintenance sports car, so it doesn't have a spare tire. I limp down 7 miles and get one bar of cell phone signal. I call Porsche roadside and they made a mistake. They sent a tow truck out from the wrong location. So after they did that, they realized, oh man, he's got bad cell phone signals. So they're texting me like every 5 minutes. Hey, I just want to let you know, we got you. We got things covered. It took them 5 hours to get a tow truck up to my location. It was already pitch black dark, right? So I'm literally in the tow truck. The dealership had closed at the time. I get a call from like their level 3, like customer service person going like, Mr. Hong, we've been watching your case all day. I just want to apologize profusely for everything that's happened, right? And she said, hey, I know the dealership is closed. We've already contacted the tow truck company to take the car back to your place. And we will set up a tow for Monday immediately to get your car over to Beverly Hills Porsche to make sure it's taken care of, right? That experience, because of the technology they had on the back end, and because they needed to have actual face-to-face contact with me, and they called me and made me feel like I just wasn't part of some automated system, that combination of technology, a real person, and then automation, I was literally stuck for like 6-7 hours. I could not thank the person from Porsche enough, right? I'm like, you are amazing for doing, by going out of your way to call me and just keep texting me from your, she's like, I was literally texting you from my personal cell phone, yeah. Right? And so those types of experiences, I wanted to bring this up because it's an example of how when you know your customer, you know the technology you have, but you also realize that you need this kind of face-to-face or person-to-person interaction. That's why, like, we talk about this a lot as nerdy technology, but it's only there to enable you to eventually make that face-to-face connection with the person to deliver that luxury sort of experience. And the reason I say that, Diane, is because a lot of times we email market and we expect a lot of these folks who are, we're reaching out to through email to respond to us. But the reality of it is we're just putting those emails out there to be like a useful, helpful touch point to remind them that we're useful or helpful to them. Right. So maybe that's a piece of content that if you segmented or put the person into the right audience, that you're reminding them that, hey, the properties in your area are going up by X percentage, you know, from last month to this month. That's a valuable piece of information to someone who owns the property in that area. But if you're mailing it to someone who's not in that area, that's an invaluable piece of information and you just clogged up their inbox, right? So again, technology is great. And just like Porsche did, they use this text messaging platform and whatever to communicate with me. But ultimately, it's because they knew the situation that I was in and they had a real person reach out to me using that technology. And I think a lot of times we fail to realize that the technology is only an enabler to allow us to have those better face-to-face connections with the right people. And we all know that in luxury, that's not going away, right?
No, it's really interesting. First, wow, I would have freaked out completely.
Oh, I freaked out. My wife did too. She's like, are you going to sleep on that mountain? Because, and of course, the park ranger told me, don't leave your car up here.
Don't do that. No, that's very real life. And as you were talking about it, we really could have placed just about any industry and experience in that story. And the other thing that we would have to prevent ourselves from doing is saying, oh gosh, first world problem, you're driving around in your Porsche. But but the truth of the matter is that's the client base, right?
Exactly.
That we're seeking. And if they're accustomed to that experience with Porsche or Mercedes,
yep,
or Louis Vuitton, mm-hmm, or Gucci, they're, yep, going to expect that from you.
Correct.
And so suddenly things that are really seem out of reach, gosh, these are major multinational companies I just rattled off. But in, yep, fact, technology can actually enable you to behave in exactly that same way, right?
Exactly. And I think the reality of it is, you know, we sometimes rely on technology a little bit too much. And what happens is that cheapens the experience, If I would have never talked to someone on the phone from Porsche and just was going back and forth on text, like through an automated system, I probably would not be sharing this story with you today, right? Because it just felt like I'm talking to like an automated system, right? The technology that I think that we need to have out there is one that enables us to be more human. And when we rely too much on the automation, and that when I say automation, the example is, let's just send an email to a whole bunch of people automatically without thinking manually through who we should send it to and how we should separate out the different audiences, right? That technology can actually make the experience worse, right?
Right.
So you kind of like, you live by the sword, you die by the sword kind of thing, you know?
Right. So we've had kind of the don't do, right? Which is don't send things to people that they really don't find helpful, because the worst thing that can happen is that you've now created a bad experience. It's not neutral any longer.
Yep.
Secondly, you were really talking about technology as an enabler of actually being more human. Okay. Mm-hmm. So if we compare those two experiences, the thing not to do and the thing to do, right, and with Porsche. So in the day in the life of how real estate professionals should be using and should be utilizing this idea of a one-to-many source.
Yes, right.
We just simply are talking about HubSpot as a tool. People use Constant Contact. They use Salesforce. They use, you know, super small, homegrown, doesn't matter. So if those are kind of, how do you tie that together and say, here's how you really do it right, right? You begin with segmentation. Yep. Mm-hmm. Content has to be relevant. Yeah, what would be an example other than the price of a house, right? Because that's, I think, another trap that real estate professionals tend to get into is painting themselves into that corner that says, I'm going to shuffle you to the back of my head because I don't need you. But how do you stay relevant, right, with pieces of content? Like, what comes to your mind that you'd find relevant, right, other than the price of the house?
Yeah, it's funny. You start to see a lot of, and I'm going to talk, and again, I'm going to talk about brands that do this kind of thing, but I don't feel like you have to like be at this sort of level of the brand to do it. But this is an example, right? So like Whole Foods, what they do is they put out a ton of recipes, right? And like the whole point of that is, they're going to buy the food that, they're going to potentially go to Whole Foods to buy the food that's going to go into the recipe. But the point of that is actually not to get people to buy the food. It's just to like be helpful or useful to the audience, right? We always are trying to find things to cook for our families or, and I think that's the primary focus of that. And secondarily, yes, like we're putting the brand in front of them and whatnot. So examples of things, if you're like looking, if you're in luxury, right, is
you're not talking about life. You're not telling an agent to send recipes.
No. So it's maybe talking about lifestyle things that are relevant within your community to let your audience know about. So let's say you are you're selling at upper price tiers, and you know you're at that sort of level, and your audience and your database, your CRM, or even your email list, if you don't have a CRM, is full of these folks who are in your locale. Maybe what you want to do is put out a newsletter out there that maybe, you mentioned something about house prices because that's normal. And by the way, please leverage the LMR data, the luxury market report data. That is, you're all members, you pay for it. Like, that's valuable information that even someone passively looking at your content will always just keep in the back of their mind, right? Remember like when you would go like have breakfast or brunch somewhere, there's all these like real estate, like magazines that would have home prices. Those are the equivalent of that in a way, you know what I mean? But an example would be like, there's a luxury event happening at, this particular location, or there's a local business for example, that's putting on like a wealth planning seminar or something like that. You know, that kind of content, I think, is the type of content that you want to nurture your audience with, because it's actually maybe a little bit more general and we don't have to quote unquote segment as much as needed, right? And you're not only supporting like the local businesses or events that are happening in your community, right? But you're informing folks about the stuff that's going on. And I've always seen agents in their local communities as connectors. I've always seen that as like one of the strongest parts of a realtor's like value prop to a client, right? Is that you're trying to connect them to folks in your community, whether it's the typical, oh, here's the escrow person I use, or right, the title agent or whatever, but also to local businesses. And a lot of times those the agents have those relationships, right? And so I think you're trying to build community ultimately. And if you can do that through local content using local events, you know, and I think the less you can actually talk about real estate sometimes, but still have something connected to this lifestyle of quote unquote luxury, mm-hmm, I think that's a really good way to nurture the folks who you're doing business with or eventually will do business with.
Right. And so you segment to make absolutely sure that what you're talking about is relevant to the people who are getting it. You do so in such a way that they receive it via a mechanism that uses technology, right?
Like, correct. That makes it easy for you to get it in front of them. You're not having to type 50 individual emails to people, right?
And then, you know, it's funny. I listened to that and I thought, be Whole Foods, right? Whole Foods is playing the positioning game in your mind, right? They want to own that piece that demonstrates that the best experience for food is at their store, but they're not telling you that. They're demonstrating that, right? You know what I always think about? Like, this is my little, I like the Williams-Sonoma catalog and I like the Williams-Sonoma emails I get because they do a really good job of this. They do the same thing, only they're doing it. They're saying, here's the really the best way to use this super high-end tool. And it makes me want the tool. So the real estate professionals demonstration, not telling, demonstrating their knowledge of community and connection you know, via this kind of a medium, right?
Yeah. And you're doing it and you're in a non like salesy way. It's just, hey, I'm trying to connect you with everyone that's out there that with stuff you might be interested in. And I think the more you can position your content in a way that you can be helpful and to your point, Diane, when you're like, hey, give me an example where you're not talking about home prices, because that's just easy, right? But the hard part is thinking about how am I helpful to someone who might be interested in luxury real estate without talking about luxury real estate, right? And the Whole Foods example is the recipes. Portia does amazing content marketing, and they have a whole YouTube series about Michael Fassbender learning to become a pro race car driver for Porsche, right? And look, I'm not going to become a race car driver, but I will tell you that I watched that YouTube series and it definitely narrowed my list down of cars that I wanted to buy.
Sure. You used a term there called content marketing. Okay. Give us the history of that word.
It's very relevant because I literally just gave a talk about this at a conference, a HubSpot conference, in fact. So the history of content marketing, I actually always see the Sears and Roebuck catalog as the original sort of like content marketing piece, and an opt-in or getting someone's quote unquote email addresses. They physically had to give you their mailing address. That was the only way they could distribute a piece of content to you, right? Yeah. So they would distribute this content, and sure, it's very salesy. Here's everything you can buy from Sears Roebuck, right? But as you start to evolve, remember in Forbes, when you would see like custom content advertorials that looked like news articles, but they were really just advertisements, right? That is the next evolution, if you would, of kind of content marketing, which is let's be helpful and useful. Let's just not put an ad here about this Oracle piece of software, right? let's talk about what enterprise database management looks like for CIOs. And let's put a 6-page advertorial, right, inside Forbes to talk about this, right? So that was the next evolution of kind of content marketing, where you would see like sponsored sort of content where they were trying to be like helpful and useful, but it was still salesy kind of stuff. Right. Yeah, it still goes on, right? Mm-hmm. And then what we have in today's day and age is what we call kind of like inbound content marketing. And the reason why we say inbound in the front of that is because in today's day and age, there's just so much content out there that if you blast everybody with it, like you buy email lists, or you know, you do the equivalent of like spamming people, right? Technology will not allow you to do that anymore. You cannot go outbound cold to many people because spam filters and all that kind of stuff will catch it. So what you have to do now is you have to put out content that's valuable or useful to your audience that either a search algorithm like Google will serve to them because they're looking for that type of content, or a social algorithm like YouTube's kind of a combination of search and social, but like Facebook or Instagram, if they see your content and the hashtags tagged to it and the engagement with it, they may also push your content to a new audience. So the idea here is that hey, here's why I'm the best realtor in Playa Vista, and just mail that out to everybody. You actually need them to come to you first on a piece of content that you've put out there that they find relevant. And the reason why they need to come to you is because it's very, very difficult to just reach people at scale without having them done what's called an opt-in, or they've voluntarily given you their email address because they want to continue a conversation with you, right? And what I've seen a lot of realtors do to generate an opt-in so that they can start a quote-unquote digital conversation with someone is they'll offer up data or information on their market area and say, hey, if you want to stay up to date on, and again, we're going back to house prices again, Diane, but sure, that's what a lot of people, like a lot of consumers out there who own houses or buying houses are looking for in terms mm-hmm. of data too. But what they'll do is they'll like run some ad campaigns on Facebook or Instagram to their specific geography and say, hey, if you want to get updates on your, you know, on how house prices are doing in your area, fill out this form and then we'll email them to you every month, right? And as long as you have access to that data, right, that's an easy nurture relationship to have with people and an easy way to get new prospects to engage with you. But you've got to have the data, or you've got to have something valuable to give to somebody up front.
Yeah. And I think those things that you talked about, I mean, everyone knows they're out there. A lot of real estate professionals choose a different route. And I think the most successful ones truly embrace this idea of content marketing as making it as bespoke and customized to the segment they're most interested in reaching.
Right.
And I think really the theme here is if you really have that as a goal, you can do that, right? It may require a little more work on the front end and a little more discipline on the front end, but at the end of the day, right, we see, and I think the global pandemic showed people that they don't always have to be in front of people, shaking people's hands and doing all those things if they can do this more effectively. So kind of to wrap up our conversation, Andrew, sure. I do wonder, you know, I think people often ask me, what am I most concerned about? Or what keeps me up at night of what's happening and what's changing? One of my greatest concerns is that we're in this really great real estate market, okay? We have a limited inventory at every level. Let's be real. It's every level. Some levels are more limited than others. And frankly, luxury is playing a role like it's never played a role before in this idea of limited inventory.
Yep.
But we're going to soon, if we aren't already there in some markets, get back to a new normal where we have to get these good habits in place. What's the one thing you would tell, you know, real estate professionals who are really reaching and wanting to be successful in the upper tier in their area? What's the one thing you'd tell them to do with just your pure marketing hat on as we come back to a new normal?
Yeah, so I think you actually mentioned something really important in your sort of summary there, which is that there's sort of an investment of time and not necessarily a lot of money, but some money that you need to make up front if you want to build this bespoke, customized, scalable, right, experience for folks. And so my advice to you is, if you like some of the things you hear here, some of the ideas you hear, some of the concepts around technology that can enable you to create this stuff, just know that there is potentially a little bit of legwork that you've got to put into it. And you're going to have to operate in maybe an area where you may not be comfortable with, which is like putting technology together, right? It's not rocket science, but if you're not familiar with what the best practices are, it can be difficult, right?
You can hire somebody.
Yeah, you can hire someone, a freelancer, an agency. There's a lot of folks out there that it's like a marketing automation resource. That's typically if you're going on Upwork or you're going on Fiverr looking for somebody. But I would say that if you want to do this, set out a plan, right? Say, hey, I want to take 3 months to hire someone to come up with a content strategy, whether it's a monthly email newsletter, or I want to start running some Facebook ads to get some more emails on my list in my market area. But give yourself a budget and in terms of time and money to work with, and expect that it's going to take some time to build it and to get some of the results. But I would say give yourself 3 to 5 months or so to make the investment of time and money into building like a system with a CRM where you're sending out like an automated nurture email to this quote unquote segmented audience or to a specific audience that you're trying to reach. So that's probably what I would, or my advice to you would be, is if you like the ideas you heard here, come up with a plan and then tell yourself, what is my tolerance in terms of time and money that I want to put to this to make this successful? Because it's not something that can happen in 2 or 3 weeks or a month. I think it's reasonable to say, between concepting the idea, coming up with a strategy, hiring the resource to do it, and implementing it, probably about 3 months is usually when we see people get it off the ground and start to get some traction, get somewhat successful.
Yeah, and you're not talking about the sort of standard thing that kind of most people have, which is a constant contact and you send it every month. Like, this is really stepping back and being, and really thinking about it in terms of content marketing, creating content, or in the case of Institute members, I mean, one of the things that we've done here is we've put a lot of this together. There's the pieces for our members that, you know, we promote Ace Social, which is a great tool that's professionally written content. As a member, you get varying different benefits to that tool. And if you're a featured member with the Institute, you get those postings every day. Look, I'm a huge believer in, you know, inspecting what you expect. You can't just turn it on and not have any, you know, oversight over it as a professional. But there is another level here that I personally think the whole entire profession needs to get to and stop kind of abdicating that they've got to buy these people back.
Yes, 100%. Yes.
Yeah, you don't have to buy them back. You can truly have a relationship, and people will think of you if you are liked, trusted, and remembered. Yep. And that's the key to content marketing. Well, look, yeah. It's always so much fun to talk to you, Andrew.
Yeah, absolutely, Diane. I'm glad we got to do like a live session here today. So looking forward to hopefully coming back in the future.
Thank you. And you take care of yourself and don't go up in those mountains without a spare tire.
I know. I'm going to think twice before I do it again. So.
All right. Take care. See you later.
All right.
Thank you so much for joining us on this episode of A State of Mind, The Art of Selling Luxury Real Estate. If you're interested in learning more about the Institute, you can find more at luxuryhomemarketing.com. If you like what you just heard, please share with a friend. And don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. Thanks for listening.